The Radio Friends with Paul Pepper podcast is supported on KBIA by Moberly Regional Medical Center. From the flu to more serious health issues, the ER team at Moberly Regional has the knowledge and care to handle all types of injuries and illnesses. When you have an emergency, don't delay. Trust the ER team at Moberly Regional Medical Center at 1515 Union Avenue and at MoberlyHospital.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Radio Friends on Friday, February the 15th, the day after Valentine's Day, and I hope yesterday was just perfect for you. Today we've got one of my favorite topics we're going to talk about, and that is space. And we've got a local expert with us, Pat Daugherty, retired NASA education specialist. Good to have you with us.
Glad to be back.
And I talk to you about any subject that you want to talk about. But you were saying, as you came in today, you wanted to discuss some of the findings of Earth-like planets that are being discovered now?
Right. NASA launched back in 2009 a special design telescope that could, because it was so sensitive to changes in light, I mean, sensitive way beyond anything we can imagine, to detect planets as they orbit around stars. And this particular telescope was so designed so that it would focus on 150,000 stars in our galaxy, and just those. Even though we have 100 billion stars, it just picked those out.
Okay, in our galaxy.
In our galaxy.
Not in the universe.
No.
Now, the galaxy is just a very small part of the universe.
Oh, very, very small.
So where is this telescope right now?
It's orbiting the Earth. And it's just finished its primary mission, and because of the results were so outstanding, NASA's extended it to 2016, so they can, because they really want to find Earth-like planets in what they call the habitable zone, not too close or not too far away from their parent star, because at that point it's warm enough to support life, but it's not so hot that it would boil off any water that might be on the surface. Or blow away the atmosphere if it has one. So that's what they're really looking for.
So how many Earth-like planets do they feel they have discovered?
Well, I don't know that you could pin down any one scientist. And there are definitely this number. There are what they call candidates, and last I checked, there's about 47 of them.
47 Earth-like candidates.
Right.
In our galaxy.
In our galaxy.
Now, where are they?
Well,
how far away are they from us?
Well, it depends on which star they're looking at. They may be just 20 or 30 light years away, or maybe as much as 1,000 light years away.
So they're looking at the star. The star would be the equivalent to our sun.
Right.
They're looking at the planets that are revolving around that star. To me, it is mind-boggling that they can detect something like this with a telescope that is orbiting the Earth, and it's sending back this information.
Right. Well, these light sensors are so finely tuned and so exact that, blip.
How do they know if that Earth-like planet has magnetic fields or not?
I don't know if this telescope, I don't believe, is designed to detect that. That would come from some other analysis, maybe using other telescopes. If they find one that they really want, then there are other telescopes that they could focus on that and get additional information from.
Now, you were telling me that if a planet does not have a magnetic field, there's no way that life could exist on it.
Not in any form that we are familiar with.
Why is our magnetic field on Earth so important?
Because the sun and all stars are constantly emitting what they call the solar wind, which are charged particles. And these are very harmful to life. Well, because they are charged, carry electrical charge, when they hit our magnetic field, they're directed around the Earth, and most of them are not allowed to actually penetrate the Earth and its atmosphere.
The solar winds, are those the particles that disrupt our communication satellites from time to time?
Well, not the typical solar wind. What those are solar flares, are more specifically what they call coronal mass ejection, mm-hmm. when these magnetic loops finally just get to the point where they can't maintain themselves and they eject the matter that's been caught up in these magnetic fields.
And that's what interrupts our satellite.
Yeah.
But the solar winds, if we didn't have a magnetic field, our atmosphere would be gone.
There wouldn't be no life. There would be no water, unless there's some form of life that could withstand that type of intense radiation. But there still wouldn't be any water, wouldn't be any oxygen or anything available for us to support life. So having a magnetic field is critical.
Okay. As a scientist with NASA, okay, you're saying you're not a scientist, but I think of you as a scientist.
Okay, fine.
You're a retired NASA education specialist, and in my eyes, I look at you somewhat as a scientist. What is your gut feeling? What is your gut feeling that someday life will be discovered on one of these Earth-like planets?
Well, if you look at the potential number, I mean, based on Kepler's recent findings, they've estimated, some group of scientists have estimated, there's probably 17 billion Earth-like stars in our galaxy alone. And there's
Wait, back up again. 17 billion Earth-like stars in our galaxy, alone.
Alone.
Now, when you add that into
100 billion galaxies, you can see that statistically, there has to be at least one other planet that's in the right place that has water and all the ingredients for life. Now, that's assuming that, you know, it hadn't been hit by a comet or a meteor or it's, you know, a nearby star went supernova and took it out. So there's a lot of things that can end life before it really gets started.
Yeah, yeah. But the chances are pretty good that there's something else out there. And I don't think that this contradicts anything in our religion whatsoever to say that we are not the only ones inhabiting this entire universe.
As far as I know, there's nothing in the Quran, the Bible, or the Torah that says the Earth is the only place where life exists.
If people want to, if they want to find out more about this, they can go to NASA, right? Go to the NASA website, or you can just Google. There is a wealth of information out there.
Right.
Do you ever get tired of thinking about this, Pat?
No, I enjoy it. I read a lot of science books and try to keep up with what's going on. I mean, you know, there's a lot changing every day, so it's hard. But no, that's my favorite reading is something in science.
Has there anything led you down a different path than when you first started?
First started what?
First started, you know, on this subject.
Oh, well, you know, just because it was required of me to know so much that it's just been mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is. It is mind-boggling talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Pat Daugherty, retired NASA education specialist. Our program directed by Travis McMillan, Reynolds Journalism Institute. Audio is Pat Akers, KBIA. Our floor director is Amy Simons. And our assistant producer and guest coordinator, Uncle James Mauser. If you have any ideas, something you'd like to hear or see, drop me an email, pepperp@missouri.edu.